Welcome to Hope is Here. I've always kind of wondered, you know, what's my favorite Bible verse? But today we're going to talk about what is the scariest verse, not something that you hear often talked about in the church or on faith-based radio programs like this. But today, my good friend Lee Faust, who is the lead pastor at Jessamyn Christian Church in Nicholasville, Kentucky, is with us, and he's going to be helping answer that question. And Lee, no stranger to Hope is Here. We had him on about a year and a half ago, and wow, what a response we got from his programs, one of the top five listened to programs on our podcast. And I want to remind you, you can sign up to receive the podcast of these radio programs at our website, hopeishere.today. That's hopeishere.today. But Lee, man, thanks for being back with us today.
Absolutely. I'm glad to be here. I think last time I shared, this is home for me. I grew up here in Versailles, and I don't know how many times I've passed this radio station, and what a blessing you all have been to our community and to all the listeners. I mean, we just really appreciate the work that you're doing, Greg.
Well, we're glad that God brought you back home from Virginia a couple years. And but the question, the scariest verse in the Bible to you, what is that passage, Lee?
Well, I don't remember who called it to my attention, but I was young in ministry, and it caught my attention. In fact, I've never forgot it. Here we are 30 years later in ministry, still talking about this. But the scariest verse in the Bible, if you had to ask yourself that question, I don't know what would come to your mind. But if you're listening here with us today, take a moment and pause and ask yourself, what is the scariest verse in the Bible? And I don't know, Greg, you knew we were going to have this subject. Did you wrestle with any of them in your mind, or is that something you're still thinking?
Yeah, I've been processing a lot because there's different ones, but I love what you chose, and it really kind of made me reevaluate some things, especially with relationships in my life.
Absolutely. You know, a lot of Christians may disagree with what constitutes the scariest passage, but I think many would agree and conclude that when Jesus is wrapping up his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, he says something that catches our attention, or it should catch our attention, and I just want to read that passage, that scary verse with you. But Matthew 7, 21 through 23, it says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven." Now that has my attention. "But only the ones who do the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many people will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? Didn't we drive out demons? Didn't we perform many miracles?' And then I will tell them plainly, 'I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers.'" Wow. When I read that, and you really let that sink in, it truly is a scary passage of Scripture. And so I don't know, have you ever heard of the LAF version of Scripture?
I have not.
I didn't think you had. It's actually not a version. It's a paraphrase, and it's the Lee Allen Faust paraphrase. So I didn't think you'd ever heard of that one, but here's the Lee Allen Faust paraphrase of that passage of Scripture. "But Lord, look at all this religious stuff we did." And Jesus said, "I don't know you. You're not my friend. We didn't have a relationship. You didn't love me, because if you loved me, you would do what I've commanded." Or in this text, it says, "You would do my Father's will." And so I think it's, to me, a frightening thing to think about going to hell. That in fact, we don't even use that word in the church. It's a little bit taboo, but you think about going to hell, and it's even more frightening to me, or scary, to find out that maybe it's too late. When you discover you're going to hell, it's that it's too late. You thought you were going to heaven, and you're not. And it's even still more frightening to me to think that not just a few, but the text says, and many people will have this experience. Now, this should have all of our attentions. I wish every Christian would think about this a little bit more. People who are thinking that they're Christians and they're doing all the right things, and they call Jesus Lord, and they hear from him, "Away from me, you evildoer. But Lord, Lord, all these things we've done." And they think that they're saved and going to heaven, and they're not. So that is a scary passage of Scripture to me.
Well, I'll tell you, you get older, friends, their parents have passed away. My dad did a few years ago, and so I've been doing a lot of friends' parents' funeral recently. And it's just, you know, we don't like to think about heaven until that. But then obviously we have to, and it's been interesting. I've had several young people over the past year. I always have my Hope Is Here ministry cards, and I just tell them at the end, you know, kind of have a decision time that, you know, hey, if you're not sure about where you're going to be, you know, if you've not made Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm going to encourage you to pick up one of those cards and contact me sometime. And I think we don't think about heaven until it could be too late.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. Well, it's funny, you're talking about funerals, but how many times do we preach someone into heaven at their funeral? And sometimes we do a disservice, not that we have to know, not everyone's going to heaven. Yeah. And that is not a very popular conversation. And so, you know, how do you know? And that's probably the question. I want to know if I am or am I not. And so let me take you through what I think might be a good challenge is if everyone today would just go home and read through the Gospel of John. And I know you can do this. Most people think, oh, Lee, I don't have time. That's 21 chapters. The Gospel of John is 21 chapters. Did you know that many and most of the books in the Bible could be read in less than 1 hour? In fact, 40 out of the 66 books in the Bible can be read in less than an hour. And so, come on, man, don't be giving me these excuses I don't have time for, because we all can make time. Just turn the ball game off, or you don't have to binge watch that whatever that Netflix show is. You know, just take a break from the media and your screen time, and trust me, I think they said the average person watches about 3 hours of TV a night or a day. Now you add some screen time onto that, come on, man, you can do this. So go home and read the Gospel of John. And what I want to do here is take just a few minutes, and I want to show you the transition or how your faith can grow from being religious to really having a relationship with Jesus. I learned this from a gentleman by the name of Dan Spader. He was a teaching pastor at a church up north for a few years. And so let me share this. As you read through the Gospel of John, this is what you're going to see. If you get to John chapter 1, John the Baptist says, "Behold the Lamb." You know, he's preparing the way for Jesus to show up. And so when he does, Philip and a couple of the disciples, they start to follow behind Jesus. And he kind of senses that they're behind him and said, "What do you want?" And they said, "Well, where are you going?" And he said, "Come and see." And so I think that's probably the first aspect of entering into a relationship with Jesus is the idea that that people who are far from God are invited to come and see. Come and meet this man, Jesus. And that's the start of a relationship. Those who are far from God, people, the Bible call them lost people, people who are seeking. That's probably a good way. Come and see. You jump to John chapter 4. Yeah, Greg, you jump in here, Greg.
You're rolling, but I love it. Keep going.
I got four bullet points here. John chapter 4, as you're reading through the gospel, Jesus runs into a woman at the well, and you start to see some followers of Jesus. In fact, after this conversation that Jesus has with the woman at the well, she goes into town and she says, "Come and see. I've met a man who's told me everything about my life. Come and see." And guess what? They followed her out there. And so you see this transition from people who are seeking to people who become followers of Jesus. Jesus extends the invitation, "Follow me." We've heard that all through Scripture. And so don't miss, and this is what I'm keying in on, the transformation that as you grow closer to Jesus, your relationship with Jesus has got to change, has got to grow deeper. John chapter 13, as you're cruising through the gospel, Jesus is now washing the feet of the disciples. He is setting for them an example. The scripture says, "And now I'll show you them the full extent of my love." So we see this whole model and example of servanthood when he's humbled himself and he's washing their feet. So we see from a seeker to a follower, now we see the relationship as servanthood, that we've been invited to come and see, follow me, and now they're working or serving. You will become fisher of men. That's the come and see, follow me. You will become fishermen. That means go to work, get a job. You know, young people got to get a job. And that's the relationship nature. And last one, a few pages over, and then I'll let you jump in here, Greg. But a few pages later in John 15, we have finally grown our relationship with Jesus to a friend, a fully devoted follower of Jesus. We're now disciple makers like Jesus, fishing for people. And in John 15, the scripture says, go and bear much fruit. And so that scripture text, I think, is probably important to slow enough and pay attention to. In John 15, the scripture says, this is my command, that you would love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one but to lay down his life for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants. You see the transition. I don't call you servants anymore. I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from the Father, I have made known to you. And this is the exact model of disciple making. Everything that I've known and learned from the Father, I've given that to you. You didn't choose me. I chose you and appointed you so that you might go bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Man, this is good stuff. The Apostle John, he knew what he was doing. There was some method to the madness. But if you read through the gospel, you have to see that there is a life change. Transformation happens. The closer and the more you know Jesus, the relationship deepens from lost to being found, to the follower, to the worker, the servant, to now a friend of Jesus. My fear is many people get stuck at the call of service, and they establish the confidence and hope in heaven on the good deeds that they're doing. And folks, we know we can't be good enough. It's not what we do, it's what he's done. And we miss that. And we have to come back to that. If you're listening today and you have a religious background and a Christian faith, challenge and ask yourself the question, where am I at in relationship to Jesus? And if you're still working and in the trench, or you're still young in the faith and you're a believer and you're following, but you've not ever got to a place that you would say, I'm a friend of Jesus. Jesus is my friend. You've got to find someone in your circle of influence to help challenge you to grow beyond that place of servanthood. The scripture says, go and bear much fruit. Now, what have I missed here, Greg? What are you thinking?
No, I mean, I think you hit on so many good things. I mean, gosh, first of all, just spending time with God. I mean, one of the biggest things for me, Lee, that was a game changer for me was when, instead of turning on ESPN in the morning 20 years ago when I got really serious about my relationship with Jesus, was, you know, turning the coffee pot on and sitting down with my Bible. And, you know, you made it simple. Just, hey, looking, I don't know where to start. Start in the book of John. And you know, I heard Mike Bro say one time, you know, having a personal relationship with Jesus and following him is not real complicated, but it's not always easy. But the easiest first step is just to sit down and spend some time with him.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And most people, I think they just don't know how. And that's why Jesus took these 12 men and spent time with them and modeled for them and mentored for them. Everybody needs a spiritual coach in their life. And you will not be the man of God that the Lord wants you to be without someone in pouring into your life and challenging you. Sometimes that means giving you a good swift kick to say, get after it, man.
And well, so unfortunately, we're out of time, but yeah, we're going to keep talking with Lee Fouse. He's the lead pastor of Jessamine Christian Church. And tomorrow we're going to hit on, how does God turn wimps into warriors? So tune in again with us tomorrow as we continue our conversation with Lee Faust on Hope Is Here.
Hey man, are you looking for a great adventure? Then join me in the Red River Gorge for an extreme character challenge. Now listen, this is not just another men's retreat or conference. No, this is 72 hours of men working together in teams to discover important lessons about God. You'll be challenged physically, mentally, spiritually. At some point, every man will have a breakthrough. This is March the 11th through the 14th in the Red River Gorge. For more information, you can find us online at 4MUSA.com. That's the number 4MUSA.com. Hope to meet you in the woods.